Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Let's get into the message this morning. How does that sound? Does that sound all right with you? I want to share a message with you this morning called Breaking Drought. So why don't you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 45. And it says this, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain.' So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. 'Go and look toward the sea,' he told his servant, and he went and looked, and there was nothing there. And he said seven times, Elijah said, 'Go back.' The seventh time the servant reported, 'A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea.' So Elijah said, 'Go and tell Ahab, hitch your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.' Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose and the heavy rain started to fall, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel." There's an interesting thing about this piece of scripture, because before we come to this piece of scripture, we know, if you've read your Bible enough, that Elijah has just had a competition with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel about calling down fire from heaven to prove whose God was truly God. And so they've just had this big competition. Elijah wins. He kills 400 prophets. That's my kind of musical. And then he comes down and he goes, "Man, I can hear the sound of heavy rain." So we understand that before all of this, 3.5 years earlier, Elijah actually steps onto the page of history and he prophesies the drought. So this guy that prophesied the drought 3.5 years ago is now saying, "I can hear the sound of heavy rain," even though there's no rain in the sight. So these people in this situation here, as they hear this, yes, there's been an incredible thing that has happened and 400 prophets have been killed and God's answered by fire and a whole entire nation has turned back to God, but they're still in drought. They're still living in drought, and Elijah says, "I can hear the sound of heavy rain." I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've been in drought, where I have felt the dryness in my soul. I felt a dryness about things. It's like God wasn't turning up. I've been praying for something, but it just hasn't been happening. When you were in a drought, you actually live in a frame of mind called survival. You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to put enough food on the table for your kids. You're just trying to make sure that everybody's living. You're not really thinking about the future. You're just thinking about your next meal. You're just thinking about surviving, getting through this period of time. And when you hear some guy come along and says, "I can hear the sound of heavy rain, but we can't see any rain." I don't know about you, but if I was a parent, I'd be like, "Whatever, man. I'm just trying to get food for my kids. I'm just trying to get enough water so my children don't die. Don't tell me about some heavy rain that I can't see, because it ain't coming. I've been surviving." There's three-year-olds there going, "What's rain?" Never seen it in their lives. Just living in survival mode, just trying to survive. And the prophet goes, "You know what? Rain is coming. The miracle's coming. This is so good. This is so exciting." And I don't know about you, but I'll just be like, "Mate, don't talk to me about rain. I'm just trying to survive." You know that sometimes your situations look better than your soul. Sometimes your situation actually looks better than your soul. Why? Because your soul overreads situations, because you have things called emotional allergies. An emotional allergy is really simply this simple. If you have a peanut allergy, the peanut isn't dangerous. The peanut is just there. It's just a peanut. It can't do anything. It's not destroying the world. It's not killing anybody. It's just sitting there on the table. Peanut sitting there. It's once the peanut is digested that the body reacts to the peanut and then causes the body to respond a particular way. So in reality, the peanut bullies the body into a response. Sometimes we look at situations and they're not as bad as what we think they are, but our emotions bully us into a particular response. Come on. And it causes our soul to be worse than the actual situation that we're in. So what we have to do is we have to understand that when situations come along and the prophet comes along and says, I can hear rain, and you're thinking, forget rain, bro. I'm just trying to find my next meal. I'm just trying to survive here. You got to go, hold on a sec. This is an emotional allergy here. It's not going to bully me into a response. You see, we live in response to God, not reaction. Sometimes we react to situations instead of responding to them. Are you with me this morning? The thing is that sometimes you hear that stuff and you kind of start in faith. You know, you start off, you hear the word and you're like, man, I got faith for that. You come to Empower Conference, I got faith for this now. And I love what Pastor Andy Cabala said. And by the time you get to the car park, the devil's come along. You know? So like, by the time you got to the car park, it's all gone. You start off in faith and it feels like nothing. And you're kind of in that nothing stage. You're believing for God to do something, but you're kind of in nothing. And it reminds me of a story of a man in John chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, who was laid at the pool at Bethesda. And there he was for 38 years, was an invalid lying there at the pool. And he was believing and hoping that at the time that the angel would come and steer the waters, that somebody, someone, some friend would come and help him get into the water so that he could be saved. There was a promise attached to this whole thing. He was hanging out. He was believing, one day I'm going to get into these waters. One day I'm going to get into the water and I'm going to find my healing going. He had friends that would bring him every single day to this place. They brought colonnades, which was coverings, so that the sun didn't beat down on them. There was hundreds of these invalids, hundreds of these cripples, hundreds of these people waiting for that one opportunity for the angel to come and stir the waters and get in. And if somebody got in before you, it's like, oh man, I missed out this time. Maybe next time I'll get it. You know, the problem is that sometimes we have an idea about what God is going to do for us and we hold on to this one singular promise, not understanding, because this man was holding on to it and Jesus walks along and comes up to him and says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And he goes, well, you have to understand the process here of getting well is this. I got to have a friend to get me into what? The process for me getting an answer from God is if I pray more, if I fast some more, if I read my Bible some more, if I triple dip on a Sunday. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but we think if we try harder, then God will come through. You know, if you try harder, it'll result in right religious behavior, but it won't make you new. Trying harder may result in better behavior, but only Christ makes us new. Are you with me this morning? He says, behold, the old has gone away. Everything is new. I don't want to try hard. I want to be a new me. I want to be the new thing that God has created. I want to be the new me. I don't want to be a reconditioned me. Don't get me wrong. I love Chip and Diana. I have a man crush on Chip. But I don't want a renovated me. I want a new me. Come on, God doesn't operate in renovations and rest. He operates in the new. Yeah? He makes everything new. We want a beautiful life, but God says that He makes a beautiful life. He makes all things beautiful in their time. And so we have to understand this man is here and he's hoping that something's going to happen, but he can't recognize Jesus. He doesn't see when Jesus comes and says, do you want to be well? It's a little bit like Elijah saying, I can hear the sound of heavy rain. He couldn't see that Jesus was about to do something for him because he was so focused on the particular program or the particular process of around the pool so that you could get in so you could get your healing. He was so focused on one particular promise that he failed to see that God could actually move in a whole lot of other promises. Yeah. Yeah. He got stuck in drought in the place with all of his mates at the same level, with the same view and the same understanding, talking to them every single day about hopefully one day my friends are going to rock up and help me get into the pool. Hopefully one day they're going to come and help me. I don't know whether they'll turn up. I don't know what they've got going on today. I don't know what they've got happening at lunchtime, but if I lie here long enough, hopefully, fingers crossed, one day. You see, sometimes church doesn't actually help you. Because the friends thought they're doing the right thing. But here's the problem. He was still a victim. Victims need rescuers. Rescuers need victims. The church is not a place for you to be rescued. The church is a place for you to be restored. See, if you want to be rescued, you'll always stay a victim. But when you're restored, you become a victor. Come on. And here he is with his chance, his opportunity. Jesus is saying, man, do you want to be well? And he was stuck in drought, stuck, comfortable under the coverings from the sun. You know, sometimes I think we're so used to fighting for survival that we don't know how to recognize blessing when it comes. We're so focused on fighting to live or fighting to get through stuff that we don't see. We don't see it when it comes. You know, when you experience drought in one part of your life, it affects every part of your life. This man was in drought. He was invalid. He was crippled. And so he had no way of making money. His economy was affected. Every part of you starts to get affected when you're in drought. But I'm here to tell you today that I can hear, if you're in drought today, I can hear the sound of heavy rain. If you're in drought today, I can hear, if there's promises that you've been holding on to that don't seem to be coming through for you, I can hear the sound of heavy rain. I can hear what God is about to do. And you might be here and you're like, Craig, but I've come to God so many times. I mean, I've done counseling. I've done everything. I've done sozos, ancient paths. I've done all the things that you can think of. I've tried so many times. I've been up to the mountain and I just can't see any clouds coming. The situation just seems to be the same again and again. And I don't understand. And I hear what you're saying this morning, but I've just never seen things change. I just can't see my way out of this situation. Friend, that's the problem. Is you're looking instead of listening. He says, I hear. Remember, there's no cloud then. The cloud hadn't even turned up. He says, I hear the sound of heavy rain. I hear the sound of heavy rain. You see, you've got to stop looking and start listening. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that God hasn't said it. You can actually be looking. You can actually be looking at disaster but hear victory. You can be looking at a doctor's report that says that you have cancer, but you can hear by his stripes we are healed. You can look at a situation that looks like it's beyond your control, but you can hear. What do we say to all of these things, all of these situations, all of these circumstances? If God is for me, who can be against me? Problem is, you're looking instead of listening. And why is it so important to listen? Because the Bible says this, that faith comes by hearing, not seeing. Comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why does faith come? By hearing the word of God, because every verse has his voice. Oh, I can't hear from God. Read the Bible. Every verse has his voice. It's alive. It's living. It's active. Substance of faith is things unseen. Come on, friend. It's like, man, I can walk through life. The Bible says this, in Corinthians it says, I walk by faith, not by sight. You see, when you look in the natural, what you see in the natural creates your internal dialogue. You see a situation and it causes you to start internalizing. You start trying to figure it out. But in the kingdom, the internal dialogue causes you to see the situation. Are you with me this morning? If you're looking in the natural, you won't see a cloud, and that'll create an internal dialogue and it says the rain ain't coming. But when you listen to his voice and that creates the internal dialogue in you, then you see the cloud before it even comes. You see, Elijah, it says here, was on his knees with his head between his knees. I'm not going to try and do that for you. I'm just not flexible enough. He wasn't even looking. And then the servant comes and says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. This is another mistake that we make sometimes. It's not enough. I can see you doing something, God, but it's not enough. It's too small. No, it's not nothing. It's something. If you'll be faithful in the small things, God will give you much. What are you hearing? Not what are you seeing? What is God saying? Because you can see defeat, but you can hear victory. The problem with surviving mode is that you just don't even look for it because you don't even consider that it's coming. They weren't even looking for it. They were just in such survival mode, they couldn't even see that it was coming. They weren't even thinking that it was coming. But Elijah, when he saw the little cow, didn't hesitate because he knew it was a sign of what was to come. And so Elijah runs. And it says this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 3. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. In other words, I'm going to kill you. And then it says this, Elijah was afraid. So he ran for his life. Elijah was afraid because Jezebel tried to intimidate him. You see, when you start to hear the sound of heavy rain coming to your situation, the enemy's going to come and try and intimidate you. He's going to try and intimidate you out of the rain. You see, Elijah ended up running from the promise. The very thing they had prayed for, he ran from because of the intimidation of the enemy. Elijah expected God's blessings to eliminate the resistance he was facing. If there's one thing that I've learned, the more resistance you're facing means the more that you're online with what God is doing. Why would the enemy resist you if there's nothing about you to resist? Come on. We think that when that smooth sailing is God's blessing. Can I remind you of something? Peter didn't walk on smooth waters. He walked on wind and rain waters. And he walked on them, and I mentioned this last time when I was here 4 years ago, he walked on the water not for any other reason than he said this. He said, in the midst of this storm, God, if it's you, command me to come. What was he doing? I'm not looking at the wind and the waves, I'm listening. And he says, and then God said, come. And then he walked on the word. Not on the water, but on the word. He heard and he walked. Sometimes when survival mode kicks in, it causes us to run from the very blessing that we're seeking because we don't recognize that it's coming because we spend so much of our time just surviving. And so we can't see that it's coming. The man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus has come, the Son of God, the resurrection and the life. And he says to him, do you want to be well? You think that's a pretty simple answer, isn't it? If I said to my 13-year-old son, do you want this $20? He's not going to tell me, well, actually, I did the dishes last night. I vacuumed the house yesterday and I've made my bed every single. So, oh yes, I think I will take that. He's not, even if he hasn't deserved the $20, there's no hesitation. He's like, yeah, I'll have that. And Jesus turns up and says, do you want to be well? And the response is not even yes. Obviously, he wants to be well, but he's so focused on the only way that he can think that it can be well that he doesn't recognize what he's been praying for when it comes to him, as he's so focused on this is the only way that God can answer my situation. It can't come from anywhere else. I can't come from any other place. How could there be rain? I'm surviving. You see, here's the thing. The enemy can't keep God from raining on your life, but he can keep you from receiving it. He couldn't stop the rain. The rain was coming, but he could make Elijah run from it. Are you with me today? So are you running from what you've prayed for? We can get so comfortable in surviving that we can't hear the sound of heavy rain, nor do we recognize it when it turns up. Why? Because we're so focused on surviving our pain, or surviving our depression, or surviving our failures, or surviving our mistakes, or surviving our insecurities, or surviving my regrets. I'm just so caught up in surviving my drought that I just can't even see. Are you running from situations that God has already worked out for you, but you just can't see it? You see, Jezebel sends a message to Elijah saying, I'm going to kill you just like you killed the prophets. Was she really going to kill him? If she was going to kill him, wouldn't she rocked up herself with a whole lot of soldiers instead of sending a messenger? See, this is what the enemy does. He sends a messenger to try and intimidate you. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the enemy can't kill what God has saved. The enemy can't kill what God has saved. God, it's like, you've survived 3.5 years, Elijah. You've survived this drought for 3.5 years. I even got a widow to make you food. I have done everything. Oh, you've called down fire from, you have survived. What makes you think, now that we're coming to the end of your drought period, that I'm going to let you die, that I'm going to let you miss out on the blessing? What kind of God do you think that I am, that when the blessing comes, I'm going to rob it from you? Come on. If you run from the problem, you run from the promise. So many people in my church, man, I really want to have a life where God just does miracle after miracle. No, you don't. Because for God to do miracle after miracle means that you require one, which means you live in a state that's needing one. Oh, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You want to know the power of his resurrection always requires a death beforehand. You can't resurrect something that's alive. It has to die. So if you're having, needing, and requiring miracles, you're not in the wrong place. You're in the right place, because that makes you dependent on him, and that's what he wants. Because then your testimony is awesome to all those around you. You see, the problem with the man of Bethesda was not a physical lameness. It was a lameness in his soul. He was lame spiritually way before he was lame physically. He couldn't see it coming. He couldn't see it coming. Listen to this. I love this verse. And I'm nearly finished this morning. If the musicians could come, that'd be fantastic. It says this. Let me just take a drink. Isaiah 43:19. Says this, I love this. See, I'm doing a new thing. Oh, man, I don't know about you, but I want God to do a new thing in my world. See, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. And then he says this, do you not perceive it? Can you not see it? Can you not see it coming? You know why we don't see it coming? Because of what he says next. I'm making a way in the wasteland and streams in the desert. just about every single one of us, they have a dry area in our lives, or we have a regret from our past. We try to cut that off from our lives. We never ever think that God wants to resurrect that. We never ever think that that wasted marriage that I went through, that God can do something. We never ever think, because we think, why would God operate out of dry places when he's doing a new thing? Why would he go back to the dry place to do a new thing? Because God always operates strongly out of dry places. That's why he made man out of the dust of the ground. That's why we have Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, which turned into a mighty army. Come on, friend, you got to understand something, but there's a real difference when it comes to the valley of dry bones that you need to understand. He said, can these bones live? And he said, you tell me, God. God tells him that he can live, so he's hearing that they can live, but then there's a key thing that happens. He says, now you prophesy to them. I'm not going to prophesy to the dry bones. I'm telling you they can live. You've heard the word of the Lord. You've heard the sound of the heavy rain. Now you prophesy. You start to speak to those bones. You call to the Spirit from the south, the north, the east, and the west, and you command them to live. If you've heard his word, you don't need anything else. Pastor Jürgen would have said this a lot to you. He said it a lot when I was under him, that the word of God in your mouth is as powerful as the word of God in God's mouth. Come on. What are we listening to? Are we just so busy seeing that we're not listening? Well, you don't understand. There's just so much stuff going on around me. You have to understand this, that God uses dry situations to change you before he changes the situation. Why? Why does he want to fix me first and then my situation? Because he's not calling you out of drought, he's calling drought out of you. He's not calling you out of drought, he's calling drought out of you. Because in John 7:38, it says this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. You see, here's the thing that you have to understand. When the living water flows through you, it flows into the drought situation around you. We want God to flow into the situation and then into us. But he don't work like that. He fixes the drought in you so that you can take care of the drought around you. He creates a flow in you so that there are rivers of living water coming out of your belly. There's a great, great, great old chorus that we used to sing if you're old school Pentecostal. And it goes something like this. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Can you sing it with me? Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. What's that song saying? It flows out of you to fix everything around you. It flows out of you to fix everything around you. You've been calling it a dry season, but you're just in a dry place. And I don't know about you, but this morning I feel the Spirit of God so strongly saying, you don't have to survive anymore. Can you hear? Come on, just close your eyes just for a moment. Can you hear? Can you hear the sound of heavy rain? Can you hear the sound of heavy rain? If you're here this morning, you're like, man, I need the rain of God. I've been looking so much for God to fix the stuff around me. I didn't realize that I got to get the river flowing in me. And the thing is, the river flows out of our bellies. And the Bible says this when it comes to the different things that we wear, the armor of God, that there's the belt of truth that goes around our belly. Why? Because when the river flows, it goes through the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and it fixes the situations around you as God releases the river within you. But can you hear it?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.